Well, hello, Joel. Hello, everyone. We are now on live. We're recorded. This is our second installment of our naturopathic consult. Joel and I have renamed it. It's now going to be called the East-West Naturopathic Health Call because Joel's in Florida. I'm in California, so that's East-West.
That's right.
So anyhow, I want to start off by, as Joel did a second ago, thanking everyone for taking time out of the busy schedule, which, you know, we're all busy, and we're going to try and do our best. Joel and I were just talking. What our goal is to give you good, solid information in as short a period of time as possible, so we're not taking up more of your time than we have to. And most importantly, we want to give you information that you can put into practice. This is not about philosophy. This is about let's make our lives better. So this is hands-on, and this is laboratory work. This is like being in the chemistry lab or the biology lab. We actually are all going to try and take the information and put it into practice so we can improve our lives, which I think is really cool. To start with, I want to let everyone know that starting in February, some of our calls we'll have a call each week, and some of them will be pre-recorded because I will be on the road. I'll be visiting over on the East Coast, and just so you, to give you an idea where I'm going to be for all of you Floridians, I'm going to be in North Miami on February 12th, Friday, and the 14th on Sunday. I'll be in Boca on Saturday the 13th. I'll be in Sunrise on Monday the 15th. I'll be back on Boca on Tuesday the 16th and Wednesday the 17th. And the 18th, I'll be in Coral Springs. The 20th, I'll be in St. Petersburg. And the 22nd, I will be in Hudson, Florida. Those are both on the West Coast. So hopefully I will get to see some of you fine people at some of these events. And the events will all be listed on the PHP website, hopefully by next week at the latest. We're firming up the last bit of the schedule, and it's pretty well set. So, Joel, do you have any introductory comments you'd like to make?
Well, I just want to say thank you, Doctor, for being on the call and hosting it. It's a great new way to start this decade. We have a lot of great questions, as I mentioned before, that we're going to try to answer tonight. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, because depending on how long we take on each one.
Right.
Definitely wanted to start out with, you know, something that a lot of people do ask me is, you know, they love our products and they use our products on a regular basis, but they would like to know basically how much of the product they could actually take. Looking at the bottle, if they could take more, because everything is food-based pretty much besides the herbal formulations that
right.
we do have, can they take more of the product than what is on the label, especially with our like green kamut or our cherry, the coconut oil, the activated barley, a lot of the signature products?
Right. Well, that's a very good question, and I do get that question probably the most. It's one of the most popular questions that shows up. And it's actually a very simple answer, and the answer is it's unique for every single person. To answer the question, yes, you certainly can safely take more than the recommended doses. You can take less than the recommended dosage. Now, one thing that everyone needs to understand is that we live in a society with, you know, rules and regulations and on and on and on. And some of them are good, and some of them are probably useless. Well, one of the rules that just happens to exist, that if you sell a supplement product, whether it be a, you know, pure chemical or a food like we sell, you are required by law, by the FDA and the FTC, that you have to have a label that has nutrition facts panel. It has to say what the recommended daily allowance is. It has to say what your dosage is, what the serving size is, so on and so forth. Now, the easiest way to address that is the fact that obviously, if you have somebody who digs ditches 7 hours a day, who weighs about 220 pounds, versus the person who's sitting at a desk who weighs about 125 pounds and basically the only physical exercise he gets is getting up to go to the bathroom, obviously those people, those two individuals have a completely different nutritional need.
Okay.
And to say that this is the serving size for both of those people would be absolutely absurd. But that's what we're required to do, okay? So that's why you do have to use your own judgment. Obviously, we have a couple of products like Master Aminos, which are designed to be used in a specific way. In other words, we recommend one per 20 pounds of body weight, especially if you're using it for exercise or weight loss or muscle gain. We have another product, Joint Flex, which you can take any way you want, but in order to get the maximum benefit out of it if you're over the age of 40, is you pretty much need to load up on it. So you start off with one capsule three times a day, and as quickly as you can, you get up to doing 9 to 12 capsules three times a day, which is called a preloading amount, so you get your body up to where it was when you were a lot younger. And then once you start feeling results because of the mucopolysaccharides and the herbs that are in there, you can then back off to find a suitable level, which obviously is less capsules will save you money and just easier to do.
Right.
But so that's I think an easy way to look at it. Some people have asked me about taking more Virasure or Immunomax, and certainly the more you spread it out, the better off you are. So in other words, no one I know eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time. So why would you want to take your supplements? If it says to take three a day, why would you take all three at once? It's far better if you can to take, spread it out and take one three times a day, or two three times a day, or three times a day, or whatever you find appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I think that's very important to mention about when you start taking something that's new, and this is from anyone who's been a scout, Boy Scout, Girl Scout, whatever, one of the first rules of thumb that you are taught if you are ever lost in the woods, is you look for food that looks like it might be edible. You smell it, you touch it, and if that passes the test, you take a very small piece of it, you put it in your mouth on your tongue, and leave it there for about 10 seconds, and then you spit it out, and you wait and see if you have a reaction.
Right.
Then, no reaction, you take a little bit bigger piece and you chew it once or twice, then spit that out. And obviously what you're trying to do is you're trying to determine, is this a healthy or a toxic substance? Now, I don't want to give you the impression that our products are fall into this category, but it's the same concept, it's the same theory. If you're going to take something new for the first time, please start off slowly so that your body gets used to it, and then you become accustomed to it, and you get much more out of it as you gradually increase the amount. And you may increase it to half the suggested serving size. You may increase it to five times the recommended serving size. I've talked to people who are dealing with cancer who have used 30 or 40 servings of barley juice a day. Now, very few people would think that that's a normal thing to do, and I'm not saying it is. But obviously,
about six.
Those people found it helpful and beneficial, so obviously they did it, and there was no side effect because it's just a green vegetable, okay?
Right.
So I think that's what we need to keep in mind when we start talking about foods. And we are going to have a whole call maybe in the next couple of weeks that we're really going to focus on how do we understand the difference between food that nutrients that are in real food, nutrients that have been comprised in a food matrix, in other words, made up to look like food, and isolated nutrients that are either mixed with or devoid of any food. And we're really going to explore that in a way that becomes easy to understand and easy to explain to other people, because that's really what the two goals that we're trying to do here is give you information that you can use for yourself and give you information that you can share with others so that, you know, they can have the same advantages that that you have.
Excellent.
Now, before we go any further with, other questions, the one question that we do want to cover, because I do get this a lot, and it is covered in the Health Minute from this Monday, is about, you know, weight loss and sleep.
Okay.
And the question does come up a lot, and, you know, is sleep really that important if you want to lose weight? And I want to go on to say, let's broaden the question. Is sleep really necessary if you want to be healthy? Is sleep really necessary if you want to heal yourself of a problem that you now have, a disease? Is sleep really necessary to be able to function better during the day? Okay, so all of these questions are the same question. In other words, why is sleep important? And is sleep important? Okay? And I think this is crucial that we talk about this probably a little bit more than we might have otherwise, because we're really in a crisis mode in not only our society, but the world today. We now have 24/7 cell phone, internet, pager, you name it. There is no downtime for just about anyone unless you consciously decide you're going to have downtime.
Yeah.
And to give you a good example of this, I recently read, and this is pretty amazing, this is classic, that I think it was in 1862 when Abraham Lincoln had gotten elected president. It was actually 47 days after the election, 47 days, Joel, after the election, before everyone in the United States who had voted, and other people who hadn't voted, before everyone in the United States knew who the president was. 47 days. Now, today, when you live in California, we find out who the president is even before we've all voted.
Right.
So, in other words, we are living in such a fast technological era that technology has totally bypassed and surpassed our ability to even relate to it, okay? And so this really is what we're talking about when we're talking about sleep.
Right.
We think sleep is rest. Well, sleep is more than rest. Believe it or not, the American Indians, Hippocrates, Galen, some of the Chinese and Indian Ayurvedic doctors of way back when actually said that sleep is a situation that the body and the mind must experience every day, because it's actually an experience for our spiritual soul nature. And what it does is it actually allows our soul to release itself from the body. This is why when you have really deep sleep and you wake up incredibly refreshed and alive, and you say, wow, I slept well, even though you didn't dream, even though you were not consciously aware of the actual sleeping part, because your conscious mind had actually rested completely. What was awake was your soul nature, your spirit nature. And science has now verified this through brainwave technology in terms of measuring the different alpha, beta waves, and so on and so forth. And they can tell when the mind is actually completely at rest, which is very, very rare. But
right.
when you rest your mind completely and thoughts are gone, which means you're not going to dream, because dreams are nothing but projected thoughts, you are getting really intensive, vivifying sleep, which is incredibly nourishing to body, mind, and soul. Okay. Now, the question is, why would we need sleep for things like weight loss and even to be healthy? Well, I think I like to call this conference call, Common Sense 101. Here's what happens when we're constantly on the go. And like I said, we've already painted the picture that we're pretty much all going 24/7, 365 days of the year, unless we take a time out. There is no guaranteed time out anymore.
The
only day of the year that 90% of the stores are closed in the town that I live in is Christmas Day. That's it. And even that day, there's a lot of places still open. Okay, whereas when I was a kid, everything was closed every Sunday. Okay, so there is no time out anymore. Okay.
Right.
Now, when there's no time out and there's constant input of technology on our minds, our spirit gets bombarded also. And what happens is, because we are in a state of not really being aware of how all this material gets processed, we actually go into what's called a minor fight or flight syndrome. We actually enter into an adrenal reaction, the same kind of adrenal reaction you get if you get you know, attacked by somebody, or you get really angry, or, you know, you get fearful. Okay, that's what it's designed for, to get you out of danger. But when you start having these adrenaline reactions based on too much input of technology, this is dangerous. And what you are creating is you're creating a constant supply of toxic chemicals into your bloodstream. Because when you produce adrenaline, you produce a lot of acid,
yep,
which is designed to stimulate movement. But if you're not moving, you're not going to burn that up. And so that becomes toxic. Okay. Now, where does the body store toxins the best? It's a simple answer, but most people, you know, don't really relate to this because we don't think of it in this term. Most toxins are stored in the body in fat cells for a good reason. Fat cells are independent of the blood. There is very few fat cells where a capillary goes through it. So in other words, the body can sequester a nasty toxin into a fat cell and knows that it's pretty safe, that it's
right,
not going to get out into the bloodstream and affect the heart or the liver or the brain, which could kill you. Okay, that's why fat cells, that's one of the basic purposes of fat cells, is to store toxins. Also, it provides insulation. There's no question about it. But one of the main functions is for the toxic overload.
So wait, let me ask you something.
Yes.
If you basically get the toxins out, will the fat then follow?
Exactly. And see, this is the fascinating thing about the diet roller coaster. That people, we know, I mean, the diet industry is multi-billion dollar rich because it recognizes the roller coaster effect. You lose 30, you gain 20. You lose 40, you gain 46. You know, it's up and down. Most people who have been dieting for 25 years will tell you that over that period of time, they've lost about 350 or 400 pounds.
Sure.
Up and down, up and down. Okay.
Because I hear it all the time.
The toxins never leave. So one of the main ways that we get rid of toxins is by being in tune with the natural rhythms of the body. Now, Joel, I think we talked about this before, but maybe not. But do you remember what the cycle is for the body when it goes into a detox reaction? It does this every single day. And this has been this was documented 25, 30 years ago by Bernard Jensen. Before that, it was talked about by Hippocrates, even before they had, you know, chemistry to know this. But there is an absolute guaranteed biological clock in your body that sets into motion a detox reaction.
Right.
You remember when that was?
Tell me.
10 o'clock at night till around 4 in the morning.
Right.
Now, let's
especially
look at
the liver,
this.
Right? I mean, that's the main source. I mean, that's the main reason also you don't want to eat after that time as well.
Exactly. Well, this is the main reason you want to eat light in the late evening. Anytime, if you eat a heavy meal after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you are going to really mess up that detox reaction
cycle, right?
Okay. So in other words, this is why whether you're on a diet, whether you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to be healthy, one of the best things to do is to follow the regime of eat like a king or a queen for breakfast, eat like a prince or a princess for lunch, and eat like a pauper for dinner. So in other words, you're putting the maximum number of calories into your body at a time of day that you're going to utilize them.
Sure.
And as we get farther and farther along, and we get closer and closer to the time that our body goes into this detox reaction, then the body can actually do its thing because there's not a bunch of stuff sitting in the stomach that has to be digested.
You got everything out of the way.
Out of the way, exactly.
Total sense.
Okay, so obviously then, if you are busy at the gym, you know, we now have 24-hour gyms, right? A lot of people go to 24-hour gyms. And I can appreciate it if you work, you know, you're trying to work everything in. But the reality is, in most cases, it's not healthy to go exercise at 11 o'clock at night because your body wants to detox then, okay? Now, there's no doubt about the fact if you have gotten yourself on a, you know, you work the graveyard and you work 11 to 7, you've been doing it for years, okay, you can readjust your detox cycle.
Right.
Only if you're regular with it. In other words, if you're going to stay at that schedule your whole life, then it works very well. But if you're going to work 4 days on and take 3 days off, and the 3 days off you're going to go back into a, you know, diurnal existence and sleep at night, your body will constantly be in a confused state. So basically, what we want to do is we want to get to the point where we are allowing our bodies to do what it was designed to do between 10 o'clock and 4 in the morning, and that is detoxify itself. And the way we do that is by having as little stuff in the stomach as possible, by feeling relaxed and at ease when it's time to go to sleep. It doesn't mean you have to go to sleep at 9 or 10 or 11. I mean, it's obviously good if you can go to sleep close to 10, because then you're going to get maximum benefit out of this detox reaction. But the point is, obviously, if you're really sincere about trying to lose weight, the only way you will lose weight and keep it off is to detoxify yourself and to get into the natural cycle of listening to your body, so your body can do the work it was designed to do. So obviously, one of our products that we do very well with is our tart cherry juice, our Montmorency tart cherry juice, because it contains biologically active melatonin. Now, the advantage that that has over the synthetic melatonin that you buy in capsules is when you buy the synthetic melatonin, you take that day after day after day, you actually can limit the pineal gland's ability to produce its own melatonin. The pineal gland is located in your brain, and that is responsible for creating the circadian rhythms. And it actually produces melatonin on its own.
So if you start
taking synthetic melatonin, the body gets this message and says, oh, I guess I got more of this than I need, and it actually can start atrophying, which can be a dangerous thing.
Right,
and then you become addicted to this stuff, and you got
to
take more and more and more of it.
Sounds like you almost build up a resistance to it.
Well, right. You build up a tolerance. It's the same thing as somebody on, you know, cocaine or heroin. You know, they have to keep taking more and more because the body is adapting to, you know, the chemical effect. But when you use a melatonin that is naturally occurring, like it is in our cherry juice, or like, you know, when you eat Thanksgiving dinner, when you have, you know, you eat a lot of tryptophan, has the same effect, you know, but that's natural tryptophan that helps sleep. But the natural melatonin in the cherry juice is very great because it's non-addictive. You could take cherry juice first thing in the morning, and it's not going to make you go to sleep because it works in harmony with your pineal gland. It doesn't work against it. Now, you take synthetic melatonin, you know, like on an airplane, if you're getting on first thing in the morning, and you might actually get some help from it sleeping, although it's still going to be a fight, but it's going to work better. But the point is the cherry juice is great for doing that. And obviously, you know, if you take the cherry juice and mix it with the aloe vera, which, you know, we recommend, it tends to work better, and you're also getting the benefit of the aloe, which, of course, you know, is good for digestion and other things. But
well, Michael, I have to say that, you know, the cherry is probably my top favorite product, and I have taken it all times during the day, you know, afternoon, the morning, you know, early evening. It never once has made me tired, but I'll tell you, when I do take it at night, probably about 9 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock, I have such a great, great sleep. I sleep really, really well.
Exactly.
Really deep. I dream really well, and I feel well-rested when I do wake up in the morning, so that's what I really love about it. And I heard basically melatonin starts to dissipate, one, at about 25, 30 years old, you know, really dramatically.
Right, yeah.
So it's probably a great thing to start adding to anyone's regimen as far as it being a really powerful fruit and a great tasting, you know.
It is. Now, one thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, Joel, because this really is on the same level as that. When you said, yes, melatonin levels start to dwindle, but there's a reason why they do dwindle. And it's the same reason why our thyroid starts acting up, and our libido goes down, and all the other endocrine glands, you know, stop working as efficiently as they did when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that is related to the issue of toxins, which, of course, is once again tied to this whole thing. One thing I think we're going to find as we progress, you know, each week is that everything is tied to everything else. You know, we can't separate one situation from another and say, all right, we're only going to talk about, you know, sleep today, because it's not just about sleep. It's about how is that related to the function of what sleep helps bring about detoxification.
Because sleep
also the fact that it brings about relaxation, and it's like rebooting the computer.
Yeah, you could do a whole call on sleep deprivation. I mean,
exactly.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's huge, and how that impacts so many health problems, like fibromyalgia and lupus. I just talked to a gentleman today in Florida who's going to come to one of our talks, and he just got diagnosed recently with lupus, and he's devastated. And I said, well, no, it's not as bad as the doctors make it sound like, but they don't know anything better than to give you cortisone and to help you deal with the pain, which of course only then further suppresses your immune system and everything else, which they admit to. You know, they admit that we'll make you feel better, but it's actually going to shorten your life. Well, thank you very much. Have a nice day. So once again, when I said to him, you know, well, how's your stress level and your sleeping? And he said, well, it's non-existent.
Yep.
And of course, that's a major factor. And so, but he's very willing. He said, no, I realize I don't have a choice. I have to take issue with this, and I have to confront it. You know, he owns his own business, and so it's obviously a stressful time. I mean, the economy's, you know, not the best, and things are always crazy, though. No, in the best of times, you know, as Charlie Dickens wrote, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. You can say that applies to almost any time in history.
Sure.
There's things going on now that are phenomenal, and there's things going on now that we just as soon not be happening, but they do. So
would the cherry be something that would be, you know, fair to say would be pretty much good to take every day?
You can take the cherry juice pretty much as often as you want.
Great.
You can certainly mix it with other things.
Because I do. That's why I'm bringing
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, yeah. No, the one thing I will say to most people, because the one complaint I do get the most from people taking cherry juice is they get bloatedness from it. They'll get gas. And two things about that. First of all, if you take it and you have something else in your stomach that hasn't really digested, you're probably going to get gas from it, okay? Because it has a high BRIC level, which means it has a high concentration of concentrated sugars. It's actually a fairly safe product even for diabetics, as long as you take small amounts and, you know, and dilute it, because it's not a quick sugar release. But that's the one problem. The other problem is people often, and this is where we get back to that first question we addressed, you know, how much should I take? A lot of people read the label, it says, you know, take 1 ounce. So they've never taken it before, and they take 1 ounce, and they take it, the 1 ounce, you know, an hour after they've eaten, and their stomach feels like it's going to explode, okay? So obviously, you want your stomach to be fairly empty, number one. And number two, the first time you take it, don't take the full ounce. Take a quarter of an ounce and let your body adapt to it so you get used to it. And then you'll find that you'll get a lot more benefit, you know, from using it. And the other thing that you know, I want to help people accomplish just from a purely selfish reason is obviously if you have a good reaction to taking a product of ours, you're going to keep wanting to take it. But if you have a negative reaction, you're going to say, well, I don't think I want to take that anymore. So that's one of the reasons for helping you understand how to start taking a product you've never taken before so that you do have a good experience with it. Because that's crucial. You know, it doesn't matter how good something is. I had a call the other day from someone who said, you know, I know this barley juice is really good, but, you know, I haven't taken any yet. And I said, well, you know, it's not going to do you any good sitting in the bottle.
Sure.
But, you know, it is a challenge. And so I guess once again, you know, to not really beat this to death, but I think it's important that we really also mention that as important as it is that you get good sleep at night so your body can go into this detox regimen so that your body can help release the toxins from the fat cells so that the body doesn't need to hold on to those fat cells, so that as you, you know, lose your weight, you'll keep it off. Because, you know, if you don't introduce new toxins, the body doesn't need to make new fat cells. So, but let's go a step further.
Speaking of fat cells,
yes.
You want to talk about our favorite fat within the line?
Our cocoa, exactly.
Perfect segue right into, perfect transition right into my favorite oil.
Perfect, yes. And what I want to cover just briefly, because I promised this last week and we didn't get to it, is because last week the subject was coconut oil. And, of course, coconut oil is excellent for dieting simply because the body treats it as a fat and also as a carbohydrate. And so the body can burn it up easier than it's going to burn other fats. So that's one advantage.
Let me ask you this. Is it fair to say it's a fat that burns fat?
It's a fat that burns fat. Exactly,
like that?
Because
like
it actually has a lower index of caloric burn, and so yeah, your body can process it a lot quicker than it can burn some other fat. So
okay, what about
itself,
all this talk how it gets such a bad rap here in the States?
Well, okay, we could spend hours, and we are going to have an entire call just about fats, maybe in the week after next or that.
Just
but
in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, the problem with fats is that we have lived in a society where the large agribusinesses like Archer Daniel Midlands and ConAgra,
oh boy,
they grow corn, they grow
yep,
soybeans,
soybean.
They grow sunflower seeds, mm-hmm. and they grow canola. Mm-hmm. And so they want to sell us corn oil, soybean oil,
and canola.
Cottonseed oil, canola oil, sunflower oil. Okay, that's what they want to sell us. And they want to badmouth so-called saturated fats. Now, the saturated fats that are very, very, very bad for us are saturated fats that are artificially saturated.
Hmm.
And that means you take a vegetable oil like corn oil or soy oil or canola oil or any of the oils, and you inject hydrogen into it. You hydrogenate it. Once you hydrogenate that oil, like corn oil, let's say, you hydrogenate corn oil, what do you get? You get Crisco.
Right.
Which looks just like coconut oil. It's white. Okay?
You know,
but it ain't coconut oil.
Because,
it ain't even close to coconut oil. You wouldn't
right.
give it to a dead dog.
Growing up, I do remember, though, Michael, there would be on some of the cookies, like cookie
yeah.
labels and stuff, you would see the partially hydrogenated palm oil, coconut oils, but that's not what we're talking about here.
No, what we're talking about here is we're talking about totally au naturel coconut oil, au naturel palm oil, au naturel olive oil, au naturel raw butter. Okay, we're
right.
talking about
the good
saturated fat that is in the form that nature made it.
Right.
Now, real quickly, and this is what we're going to talk about at length later on, but if you want to know a healthy fat from an unhealthy fat, this is the easiest test I have ever heard about. Take the food in your hand and squeeze it. And after you squeeze it firmly, if you have oil on your hand, that is safe oil to eat. If you squeeze the food in your hand and squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it and you release it and you have no grease or oil on your hands, you don't want to eat that because that is a very unstable or unsaturated or polyunsaturated oil, which means that it is not able to release itself from the other part of the food that it was in. So, for example, you take coconut, fresh coconut meat and rub it in your hands, you get coconut oil on your hands. You take fresh olives and squeeze the olive in your hand, you get olive oil on your hand. Okay? You try and take corn, try and take flaxseed, and try and take fish, and squeeze those things in your hand, and let's see how much oil you have in your hand. You won't have any.
Nothing.
And what that means is that oil healthy? No, it's not healthy. Does it have any therapeutic or medicinal effects? Sometimes it does. Flax oil, for example, can have a medicinal or therapeutic effect, but it's not nutritional. And in fact, while it's supposedly doing something therapeutic, it's actually causing nutritional damage in the body because it's acting as a free radical. So, in other words, we want to be consuming oils that are, have been untampered with by man, that we have not, you know, fussed with. And coconut oil is probably the king or queen of the fats because it is stable at high temperatures. You can cook with it. I certainly, if you're going to use our coconut oil, I recommend using it in the raw state because it's loaded with goodies like lauric acid and caprylic acid, which really help the body in many ways, and we'll talk about that at another time. But last but not least, I want to tell everyone an amazing technique you can do with our coconut oil, and it's called oil pulling. It's been around for over 4,000 years. It was started in India as a part of Ayurvedic medicine. It was around in the Mideast during the days of Jesus. It was throughout Egypt. And what you do, which could not be simpler, is you take a teaspoon of any vegetable oil. You can use any liquid oil that you want, even the junky ones if that's what you want to do. But coconut oil is the best to use because it has antibacterial and antifungal properties. You take a teaspoon of the oil, put it in your mouth, and you swish it around your gums and your teeth for 20 minutes. It sounds like a long time. If you have never done it before, I suggest, you know, start with 5 or 6 or 7 minutes and work up to doing 20. At the end of the 20 minutes or whatever you were able to do, you spit it out and then rinse your mouth really well. Never swallow that oil, because it's full of bacteria, it's full of mold, it's full of viruses and all sorts of nasty stuff.
How often do I do something like this?
What's that?
How often should I do something like this?
Well, it depends on what your problem is. I'm doing it 3 times a day because I was told several months ago that my gums were, you know, I'd probably have to get gum, you know, treatments done. And I said, no, I don't think so, you know. Yeah. And I had talked to a friend of mine who actually is the manager of a health food store up in San Juan Capistrano about a year and a half ago, and he was telling me how he does this, and he had talked to a woman who was ready to have gum surgery, not just the cleaning thing where they roto-root you, but she was going to have grafting done on her gums because they were just, you know, they were falling apart.
Yeah.
And
heavily.
He was told about the oil pulling, and she started doing it 4 times a day. And when you start, it's good to do it on an empty stomach because, you know, just to get going. Once you get good at it, you can do it any time of the day or night. But after doing it 4 times a day for 30 days, she went back to the doctor, the dentist, the oral surgeon, and his comment was, whatever you're doing, you ought to keep doing it.
That's
because
great.
He said, I don't need to do the surgery now.
Yeah.
And within 6 months, her teeth and gums look like they were brand new.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, here's the thing that's phenomenal. Not only is this going to help your teeth and help your gums, but you know, Joel, the old expression, the eyes are the window to the soul?
Yeah.
All right, well, the mouth is the window to the body, to the physical body.
I like that.
So believe it or not, there are people who have used oil pulling to help their diabetes. They have helped them with obesity and losing weight. They've helped them with menopause, really bad cramping. They've helped them with hot flashes. They've helped people with COPD, with breathing disorders, asthma and allergies. It is phenomenal because it's an incredible detoxifier. It
Wow.
pulls garbage right out of your mouth. And every blood vessel, really, the blood all goes through your mouth at one time or another during the day. And so the mouth becomes a veritable cesspool. And the cleaner you make your mouth, the cleaner your whole body is going to be. And if you're doing other detoxification things at the same time you're doing the oil pulling, it's powerful, absolutely powerful how effective this can be. And
sounds like you can do anything better.
I don't know. I don't think you can. Like I said, the first time you do it, we've got a lot of members who are now doing this. I'm telling everybody. I mean, it's a great way to use coconut oil. And like I said, you never swallow this part. You spit this out, but you want to eat other coconut oil. My wife is coconut oil is the only thing my wife puts on her skin as a skin cream. I
love shaving with it.
That's great with
it.
Shaving. Yeah,
now,
it's phenomenal.
Just about
your razor lasts longer. You do not cut yourself, and you get a closer shave. Now, what more could you ask for?
And your skin looks great afterwards.
It does.
Looking healthy, shiny, beautiful skin.
Gillette and Schick couldn't do a commercial this good.
Sure. So we're just about at the end of the call. I just want to jump back. We have just a quick minute. I just want you to touch on, I felt like the flax got a bad rap before when you were talking about the oil. Since
right.
we sell flax, the company
Just give us the flax, man.
Just tell us a little bit about
is,
the seeds.
Flax is great food.
Right.
Corn is great.
How do we use it?
Yeah, I mean, all
day.
These things I mentioned are great food, but if you take the oil out of the food by itself, it's unstable.
Okay.
That's why flax oil has to be sold in the refrigerated section. I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Right.
The refrigerator at a health food store is around 41 degrees.
Right.
Now, last time I looked, my body's at 98.6.
Right.
Okay, you put 42-degree oil in your 98.6 body, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to get hot, and it's going to oxidize and become rancid, which is exactly what it does.
And where's the fiber?
Well, there's no fiber in the oil. That's the whole
right.
point.
Right.
The good Lord and Mother Nature intended us to eat the whole foods unless the oil is easy to come apart.
And a lot of the research out there has a lot to do with the lignin as well. So
exactly.
If we were to tell people that are on the line tonight about how they should use our flax, best thing to probably do is to grind it right before they use it, about a tablespoon a day, right?
Grind it fresh. If you want to grind it ahead of time, which I appreciate that it's time-consuming to do each time, freeze it, grind as much as you think you're going to use in, say, a week, and then freeze it in as airtight a container as you can. And when you take it out of the freezer, make sure you wipe off the container, get the moisture off so that the moisture doesn't get into the container. Take some out and close it up immediately. And that's the same, like if you live in Florida in the summer or Phoenix or any real hot climate in the summertime, any of our products you can keep in the freezer, not the refrigerator, it's too moist, but you can keep it in the freezer. And what you want to do is you want to always make sure you wipe off the container before you open it so that you don't allow the condensation that can occur on the outside of the container to get inside the product. Because water, moisture is the killer of most products.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to have to wrap this up, Michael.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Joel.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks for all, Doc, as usual.
Well,
all
thank
great
you.
Information. I learned a lot on the call, which I love.
And I did, too.
And we're going to be ready for next week.
Same time, same place.
That's right.
And remember, folks, if you've got a question, please, by all means, feel free to email them in to askphpdoc@gmail.com, and that's on the website. And one thing I can ask real in closing is there's a lot of different subjects that seem to pop up. And so if you just want to send a quick email and just give me an idea of a subject that you would like to hear more about, whether it be a question or not, that would help us give you the information that you guys are wanting, because we want to try and serve you to the best of our abilities, not just simply, flap our lips. Yeah.
Right?
What a concept.
Right, exactly. Just want to wish a good goodbye to everyone. Thanks so much for everyone for joining us tonight on the call.
Thank you, Joel.
And we'll see you next week. Same time, same channel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.